So the reading, the first reading today, the story is drawing to a close that we have had for the last several days from the Acts of the Apostles, the healing of this crippled man, the temple by John and Peter. John and Peter, who have at this point in the timeline of events, have already experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon them. They've experienced Pentecost. This is not John and Peter, a week after Jesus rose from the dead, where he's appearing and disappearing. This is them operating in the fullness of the gift of the Holy Spirit given to them in their redemption and in the fulfillment of the gift. They are operating in confidence. They are operating in truth. They are operating boldly. And it seems that the fullness of grace, the fullness of reality, the fullness of truth, of all that Jesus has done in his resurrection and his death upon the cross and his ascending to the Father and the gift of Pentecost and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit has come to maturity in them. They stand before those who could put them to death with boldness and confidence. It's a little different Peter that we see in the gospel text today, because this is just a few days after his resurrection from the dead. Peter is not the confident one. He's kind of seemingly, I'm just going to return back to the way things were before I met that Jesus guy. Not that he would say it that way, but I'm going to go do something familiar because I don't know what to do. And I'm sure the last thing that he wanted to hear was a bunch of the other guys who were not fishermen, right? Remember, who was it? It was Peter and Andrew and James and John. They were the fishermen. You got tax collectors, you got zealots, you got rando, other disciples that don't even mention their name, right? But there were two others. Hey, we're going to go fishing with you. I'm sure that's the last thing that Peter wanted to hear, because Peter doesn't know what he needs to do, and now he's got these others that are following him to go and do something that he doesn't know if this is what he should be doing. We get a glimpse, too, of Peter's unsurety that when it's the Lord, what does he do? He jumps into the water and swims to meet him. Don't you move, I'm coming to you. You guys stay here in the boat, right? He needed time alone with Jesus. I need to talk to you. They're following me. I don't know what to do. Do not leave until we talk. You see it in Peter's actions. This is not Peter from the Acts of the Apostles in the first reading. This is Peter trying to make sense of everything that has taken place, trying to make sense of why these guys are following him now. We see very important details in the Gospel of John. John, if it's there, it's there for a reason. What kind of fire was there that Jesus was using? Charcoal fire. When's the last time you see a charcoal fire? Jesus, being betrayed by Peter, as Peter warms himself at the charcoal fire, denying that he even knows him. It's charcoal fire again. Do you think Peter's thinking about that? 153 fish. Why 153? It's a prime number, isn't it? No, it's divisible by 3. Sorry, there's a trick. You can add the numbers together and it's, anyway. The point being, there were 153 understood different types of fish at that time. We don't imagine that 153 different types of fish live in the Sea of Tiberias. Right? A great white shark, the mako, stingray, no. But the fact that there are 153 is symbolic of the 153, all of the varieties of fish known to the world at that time, which is representative of all of the people, of all of the nations of the world, that will be gathered together in a single net, a single church, and Peter will have a role to play of drawing all of those nations to faith, being the tie that binds them. Even though there were so many fish, the net was not torn. Promise of the unity of the church, and desire on the part of God for its continuous unity. I joke often that this is one of my favorite scripture passages because it speaks of two of my favorite things, breakfast and fishing. But what we see in this gospel text today is the humanity of Peter on display. And it is helpful for us when we too experience Jesus' resurrection, but we too can also experience uncertainty and doubt and fear about what I'm supposed to do. Just understand, my brothers and sisters, that to be bold, to be confident, to have this true sense of who you are and what you are called to, you must enter into the graces of your baptism and confirmation, first and foremost. To enter into the grace of that redemption, to enter into the grace of the confirmation, the fullness of the Spirit given to you, then you know who you are, to participate in the Eucharist, to come in that identity of who you have become. There are a lot of stuff out there outside the church that can shake our identity, make us have doubts and fears and all of these things. But the security, the sticking point, is who we have become in Jesus Christ by His grace. And so I just encourage you, as you experience life, as you go through all sorts of things, changes of life, death, job changes, moves, all different sorts of things, everything and anything that can come, He is the same. And everything that comes, Jesus is risen. There will never be a time for the rest of your life, there will never be a time for the rest of your life in which Jesus Christ is not risen. Do you understand that, my brothers and sisters? So if you draw your identity from the risen Lord, you have the assurity of knowing who you are for the rest and the remainder of your life and unto eternity. Jesus is risen. Alleluia.